Today on Real Radio.
Time's up because there's a limit to time itself. There is a limit. And what I mean by that is this, and it sounds kind of shocking at first, but there's a limit, verses 10 to 12, about love. The clock is running out on love. See, what do you mean by that? I thought God loves, that God is love. He is. The Bible says God is love. But listen, read the fine print. He also said that my spirit will not always put up with man.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a relatively lengthy paragraph in chapter 10. The first 16 verses tell us about Jesus empowering and sending out 70 unnamed individuals. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Time's Up.
No, you know what? The truth is, it's a life's work that God has began in us. And we're not, aren't you glad? We're not the same people we were a year ago, and we're not the same people we were 10 years ago. That's encouraging, because I don't want to be the person I am now next year. I want to grow up or become more like a child, is what Jesus said to do. It's a life's work. But listen, it's a life's work. How's it going to go, Jesus? Well, it's going to go this way, verse 3. Go your way, and behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Oh, boy. Wolves love lambs. The world loves to see a Christian coming. Oh, look, here comes a Christian. Let's get the barbecue sauce out. Let's eat them up. The world hates a true representation of Jesus. Let's face it. Didn't the world crucify him the first time he came? Every time a Christian stands for what the Lord has put in his Bible for us to do and to uphold. Listen, let's give the world some credit this way. They might say that what you stand for is good. They might admit to that maybe in private. I don't know. But they have to fight against it because they misunderstand the gospel. The very thing that we're standing for, they're guilty of. So were we at one time. Weren't we against God at one time? But when we heard his message, we accepted him and he washed that old life behind. The world attacks you and I like a wolf to a lamb because, number one, they don't understand. The very one that is bringing them the love of God, that's you and I, they fight us. They attack us. Why? Because they either don't believe it's real for them or they've already made the decision they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Those things are possible, you know. And you and I still live here. And so they hate us. Listen, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 22, you will be hated by all people because of me. How'd you like to be somebody's, walk up to somebody, how'd you like to be my friend, or let's be friends, or we are friends? Yeah, hey, that's nice, that's great. Oh, by the way, everyone's going to hate you because you're my friend. Really? Look over there, and then you nobody wants that. Jesus said in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, just know this, that it hated me before it hated you. I always challenge people like this. Show me something in the Bible. When you're on the streets talking to people or on the university campus, you ask them, show me in this Bible what wrong Jesus has done. Why do you hate him so much? In fact, why do you hate him so much that you'll use his name as a cuss word? How come you don't run around saying that about Muhammad or Buddha? Oh, Buddha. How come you don't do that? It's Jesus, always Jesus. Why? Show me in the Bible, what did he do to hurt your feelings? What did he do to hurt you? You know, when I look at my Bible, I find a woman who was caught in the act of intercourse. Not with her husband, with somebody else. And the religious scribes and Pharisees brought her to the feet of Jesus and threw her down. What do I see Jesus doing? Forgiving her and giving her a new life. You see Zacchaeus, who was a money-hungry, powerful, little dollar-grabbing, shekel, saving lunatic. What does Jesus do to him? Gives him real wealth and purpose and meaning. What has Jesus done that you've got some big beef to argue with him about? He loves you, no matter what you think about him. It's amazing to me. Time's up. Point number two, verses 4-9. Because there's a purpose to this life. Time is up because there's a purpose to this life, and we're to be about that thing. Verses 4-6, we learn this, breaking bonds from the world, that he wants us to break the bonds from the world. Now watch this carefully. Jesus is going to send out these 70 evangelists, and he says to them, don't carry a money bag, don't carry a backpack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But wherever, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if the son of peace, or if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. If not, it will return to you. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, first of all, if you're going to follow me, and I want you guys to go, and you're going to learn something, as you go on this impossible task, church, listen carefully, as you go on this impossible task that's only possible through me, as you go, this is just a journey. Though it is a short one, you're going to be dependent upon me. I don't want you to be burdened about with anything. I don't want you to be carrying, you know, bag of money and backpack and all this stuff. This is a strike team, as it were, of evangelism. I want you to get out there, and I want you to go quickly. And he sends them out. Why? Because, listen, we have to be careful. We are so blessed. Not only in America, but here in Southern California, we're so blessed. We have to be careful because those things, they can easily get a hold of our hearts, you know, the things that we have. They can challenge the priority that the Lord has in our lives. It's not bad to have things. It's bad when those things get into our heart. Listen to what William Barclay says. He writes this. I had to give it to you. It's so cool. William Barclay wrote so long ago, avoid those things of this world that make it difficult for you to die. What? Yeah. Avoid those things of this world that makes it difficult for you to die. He goes on, the Christian is to lay up his treasures in heaven where soon he will be arriving. You know the old story? Franklin Graham made this famous. Greg Laurie has said it so many times. You've never seen a hearse go by down to the funeral, down to the graveyard with a U-Haul trailer behind it. That one guy, it's been like 10 years ago now, died in L.A., he's buried in Bel Air someplace up there. He had to buy like 7 plots. Why? Because he wanted to be buried in his Ferrari. And so they buried him in his Ferrari. And the crane operator was overheard saying, man, that's living. Are you crazy? That Ferrari's still there. And so are his bones. It's okay to have things. Just you control those things. Don't let those things control you. Use them to God's glory, let's be honest. When we come to future studies, we'll get more on this, but the truth is, technically before God, and in reality, when we get a little bit of smelling salts, like our heart has a little skip. Smelling salts tells us from the Lord, you don't own anything anyway, Jack. You own nothing. I have loaned it to you. So use it wisely. Yes, sir. We owe nothing. It's all his. By the way, if you think about that, it can be very liberating if you let it be. And he says in verse 6, if a son of peace is there, that is, if someone's open to the gospel, go in there and be a blessing to them. Look at verses 7-8. There's a purpose to this life in the sense that laboring for eternal rewards. Laboring for eternal rewards. He says in verse 7, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, there that they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. What's he saying here? Just be a simple servant of God. Don't offend them. I don't eat that. Eat it. You're there for other purposes. That stuff's not important to you. Man, many of us in this church have traveled together to some bizarre places. One of the things, you know, people always ask, you're going to be taking signups for Israel? What's the food like in Israel? Has anyone been with us to Israel? We can't stop eating. The food is the best. There's a purpose to this life, and that it's making people whole again. Doesn't the world misunderstand us constantly? Are we constantly misunderstood? All we want is people to have the joy and the peace that we have. The funny thing is, people turn to us and say, "We don't want your joy. We don't want your happiness. We want to be miserable. Stay out of our lives." Well, when they say that, we stay out of their lives. Listen, listen, wife, husband. Does your wife, has she heard the way? Does your husband know how to get to heaven? Have you told them that? I hope so. If they keep saying, "Will you be quiet?" Be quiet. Wife, no more talking to him about it. Did you tell him how to get there? Then leave it alone. Now it's time to pray. You just pray for him. Does he know how to get there? Yes. Then ask the Holy Spirit, "Dear God in heaven above, make him sicker than a dog until he loves you. Show him his need for you." I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Pray, "God, make them sick of this world. Whatever it takes, God, do that thing." Why? Because we just want them whole. We're so misunderstood. He said, "Heal the sick that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you." How practical is the gospel? Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom is near. What a great thing that is. You know, the context of this teaching, I don't know if I brought this up or not, is Jewish. They're in Jewish territory. These are Jewish converts, and they're going to Jewish homes. In fact, Jesus said in another place that he sent them, these here, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Because the gospel had to first be preached to the nation of Israel before anywhere else in the world. And so it was. Heal them and say to them. Third point, and we'll be done. Time's up is this, because there's a limit to time itself. There is a limit. And what I mean by that is this, and it sounds kind of shocking at first, but there's a limit, verses 10 to 12, about love. The clock is running out on love. See, what do you mean by that? I thought God loves, that God is love. He is. The Bible says God is love. But listen, read the fine print. He also said that my spirit will not always put up with man. There comes a day, you know, for example, Pharaoh. "I will not listen to God. I will not listen to you, Moses." And Pharaoh stood so long, 10 times, he said, "I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do it." You stand long enough in that, in your opinion, and it's like cement around your feet. You know, it's pretty scary if you think about it. Propaganda is very powerful. If you stand long enough in it, it becomes you. You become it. If you are one who is saying, "I don't want Jesus. In fact, I only came here for a free breakfast today. I don't want anything to do with God." Just know this. He's not going to grab you. He's not going to throw you down. We're not going to grab. We'd love to throw you down and make you. It would be great if it was that easy. Can you imagine? Say you're a Christian. Say it. If it was that, come on. I'm not going to say that part, but there have been people where they set up a camera and they say, "Tell them that you converted to Islam." And they kill them. Well, come on, couldn't we as Christians do something like that? We're gonna have an outreach at the Anaheim Stadium. Everybody come forward. Lay down. God's not into that. What is that? Choose today whom you will serve. God is not some sort of a thug. You don't want him. You don't have to have him. Just know what you're doing. "I don't want God." Okay, then you don't have to have him. I highly recommend you change your mind, though. There's a limit to his love. He loves and he is, but you can say no so much that he starts to rescind it. And that's a very sad thing. He says, "Whatever city you enter into, if they do not receive you, go out of its streets and say this." This is radical. "The very dust of your city," you can almost hear them shouting, but listen, "which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you." It's an indictment, but please don't misunderstand. Watch me. The disciples didn't come when they said, "You know what, get out of here. We don't want your Jesus. We don't want you. Get out of here. Shoo! Get!" Okay. This is what they did not do. They didn't come out to the city limits. They didn't slap their shoe and knock off the dust and say, turn or burn. No, the whole thing implies that they're heartbroken. They're so excited. Can you imagine? Imagine for a moment, if you are in that group of 70 and you are the one who, for example, like Mark chapter 7, verses 35 to 37, you are the man who was deaf and unable to speak. And Jesus touched your tongue and made you able to speak. And it says even in Mark chapter 7, when Jesus said, now don't tell anybody I did this to you. This guy goes, he just got done, God touched his tongue and now he can speak. The guy just goes, okay. Turns right around. Hey, guess what God did for me? The Bible says the more he was told not to do it, the more he went around and proclaimed it. That's cute disobedience, you know? Maybe he's in that group. Can you imagine? Yes? Hi. Did you hear about me? It was in the front page of the newspaper. I'm the guy who Jesus touched. Remember? I remember hearing about this. I'm the guy. Listen, the kingdom of God's near you. The Messiah's here. Listen, here's his message. You know what? Get out of here. It's a heartbreak because you know the truth. They don't want it. It's kind of like introducing your kid for the first time to ice cream. They're like, no, here, Tate. And you got to grab the kid by the head and put the ice cream on his lip. And then he goes, It breaks your heart. You don't know what you're missing. You know, come on. I don't want to get out of here. Here you are, your heart is pumped up, filled with the love of God, and you love other souls now, and they don't want to hear it. Well, not only love is running out, but listen to this. The clock is running out on mercy. This is tough. Verses 13 to 15. Jesus says, woe to you, Chorazin. By the way, Chorazin was recently on earth. It's not all that. It's been lost for millennia. It's been found. Woe to you, Bethsaida. That town is, well, it's not even a town, but it's been known. Archaeologists have unearthed these two spots. Actually, all these spots. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that's in Lebanon today. That's a nasty area back then. That's Gentile region. Wow, he's saying, you know what? If I would have done these miracles where a bunch of Gentiles are at, they would have believed in me from the get-go. Yikes. Bunch of Gentiles are accepting a Jewish Messiah if it was in Tyre and Sidon. Listen to this. He says in verse 14, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And look at verse 15. And you, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven. You will be brought down to Hades. Wow. It was bad enough with Chorazin and Bethsaida, but what's with Capernaum? Capernaum, by the way, we visit there today. There's only remnants. There's nobody. Nobody lives there. There's a reconstructed synagogue there. Peter's home has been unearthed there. But nobody lives there. You know what the word woe means? In Greek, it's ouai. And it means damned be you. Damned are you. You're condemned. You saw so much. You heard everything about the kingdom. And you shut your doors to it. There's nothing left. I'm not damning you. Your decision has damned you. Think about that. And then he says, Capernaum, they get the worst. Why? Again, remember, to this moment, nobody lives there. Today. Why? Because Matthew says Capernaum was Jesus' ministry headquarters when he was in the Galilee. They saw and heard everything. Their little town hosted Jesus, and they turned on him. And Jesus says, it's going to be tough for you. And then we end with this. The clock is running out on them. On them. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, verse 16, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. He who hears, he who rejects. And there's the difference. It's amazing. We can be in the sanctuary right now, and only God knows your heart. God knows your decision right now, right here today, all of us. We're not fooling anybody. Or I should say, we may be fooling everybody, but we can't fool God. And that's a soul-searching thing. I'm going to read you, you can rest. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. I want you to listen very carefully to these verses. They're very famous. One of these you've seen at a football game, I'm sure. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up," referring to the cross, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Listen, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten, that is, glorified Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than the light." A reference to the Lord himself. A decision. What will you choose? You will either say, "I want this," or "I don't want this." No one is responsible for that decision but you alone. Okay, listen. We're going to pray in a moment. But there is no way that we could do a message like this when Jesus says, "Go! Go! Go!" Unless, how many of us are Christians? Raise your hand. A whole lot of you. There's enough people in this room to change the world. Wow. Now you're in trouble because you just raised your hand. I cannot give this message today without all of us, at the very least, listening to what Jesus says about this. He's asked us to go. Actually, he's told us to go. And so this week, this is your homework. All of us are going to ask the Lord, starting today, and in fact, I'll ask for you in a moment. Lord, open up a door and let me know it, that it's the door. And cause me, God, this week to tell someone about your Son, Jesus. Lord, I don't want to be hearers of the word only, but a doer of the word. Now, some of you are saying, "Oh, don't do that." Listen, first of all, every Christian should know how to tell someone about Jesus. If you don't, we have classes. We have the call ministry that you can be schooled and remove all of that question about, "How do I do that?" We have a great ministry. You can sign up this thing. It's great. But if you're a Christian, you can tell someone what Jesus has done for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Time's Up. It's a look at the first 16 verses of Luke chapter 10. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, the book of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to remind you of a couple of outreaches we have here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the link, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're enjoying our radio and television outreaches, drop us a line and let us know. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.